Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling fine. Things are all right. It's still crazy days in sports, but I don't know when this is being released. So maybe things have calmed down. Maybe by the time people listen to this, like, corona pandemic's over and everyone's just happy. Everything's been solved. Yes, that's what I'm hoping.
Trump has resigned. And
wow. Mike Pence said he's not worthy for the position. And
so he resigns? So who, Pelosi becomes president?
Gritty. Gritty is now the president.
Oh, Gritty. Do we want a Philadelphian as president?
It's tricky. I do think, like, Gritty.
They're pretty terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Gritty, if you really think about it, he's not a great guy.
Yeah, funny story, actually, related to, because I was just thinking how Gritty would scare the children. My 3-year-old is very, very, very afraid of big bad wolves, except he calls wolves wolfs.
Like all kids and many grown-ups do. Sure.
So he's very afraid of wolves. Very, very afraid. And he's always convinced that they're around every corner and they're hiding in his bedroom and all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's never really dawned upon me that the basketball team I root for is the Timberwolves. But Jared Jerome, former number one listener, was texting me something about Anthony Edwards and what should the Wolves do with the pick. And I was driving with my 3-year-old in the car. And because I'm responsible, when I text and drive, I don't text it with my fingers. I just dictate it. So I was dictating to my phone back to said messages, and I said something about the Wolves. And my 3-year-old gets very, very nervous, and he said, "Abba, what did you say about the Wolves? Oh, the Wolves. Where are the Wolves? Are they coming to get me?" So I said, no. These aren't real Wolves. These are basketball players who wear shirts with pictures of Wolves on them. But he didn't believe me. So I actually called Jared Jerome for confirmation, but I don't think my son really cares about Jared Jerome. So.
Okay, yeah.
But neither do we. We're here to talk about... We're here to talk about the Tampa Bay Bucks.
He would have believed it more if Elmo heard it. Yes, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We've actually been looking forward to this preview.
Yeah, no guest, though. We've had a good guest for many years, but I feel like we know as much about Tom Brady as any Bucks fan does.
Sure, probably more. They've been in a different conference for 2 decades.
Yeah, well, yeah, you especially.
We've also done, I think, like 15 podcasts in a row with guests. Like, I don't know what's come out, what hasn't, but like most of the podcasts have ended up being with guests after the first few weren't.
Yeah, now the listeners are very, very high on the Bucks. Only 2 listeners have the Bucks outside the top 9, which is kind of crazy. And the listeners have the Bucks 6th overall in their power rankings, which is ridiculously high, if you ask me. You and I have them 12 and 13, and in the average rankings, they come out at 12. So we will, you know, here's the thing with the Bucks. I think that the Bucks have become very, very overvalued. I mean, their over-under is 9.5, and we'll get to it. But, like, to me, you got to have a lock on that under just because – this is the same team that went 7-9 last year with one difference, which is they got rid of Jameis and they brought in Brady. And so the question is a 43-year-old Tom Brady going to be so much better than Jameis Winston that they can go from 7 wins to 10 wins or more? A Brady who, by the way, has gotten significantly worse in each of the last 2 years. But he also, to be fair, had last year, I think his would you say was his worst group of playmakers ever, or at least since like his first couple of seasons?
By the end of the second Giants Pats Super, like that season where they lost to the Giants the second time, like he had nothing. Remember, they had Ocho Cinco, you know.
No, they still had Welker in his prime.
Yeah, that team and was.
That pre Gronk and Hernandez?
Gronk was injured.
Oh, okay. So he has a massive upgrade in his playmakers, that's sure. And so it will be very interesting to see whether the fault of Brady over the last couple of years, was it with Brady because he's in his 40s or was it with the people around him? He also has to learn a new system for the first time in 2 decades. So, you know, this season is going to be all about Tom Brady. Before we get into the Bucks, your former co-host, Ari Gold, asked me a question. He said, you know, everybody's comparing Tom Brady to Joe Montana on the Chiefs. He said to me, do you have any examples of Hall of Fame players that switched teams very, very late in their career and were very successful? So I went through and I put together.
And we're just talking football, I assume.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, baby.
Sport, okay.
Any sport, yeah. So, you know, Joe Montana, 37 years old, had played one game the previous 2 years due to injury, comes to KC, makes 2 consecutive Pro Bowls, goes to the conference championship. I think he was objectively successful. He was very
successful. Especially considering he had very little left physically. He was very good with the Chiefs.
So the one guy that's
not a great team around.
The one guy that's never mentioned, and it drives me nuts that he's never mentioned, is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was 36, had just missed an entire year with a neck injury, such that the Colts, the team that loves him, completely gave up on him. He goes to a new team, immediately wins the MVP, immediately goes to the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, but then wins another Super Bowl, although, you know, not as good anymore. So it's weird to me that everybody talks about all these different guys. Nobody ever talks about Peyton Manning. Like, the Peyton Manning
maybe
is like,
because it ended sort of poorly, even though, again, they did win the Super Bowl. He was so bad by then. But, yeah, the guy, you know, broke the touchdown record. Come on.
Yeah, the first year he was there. He was 36. So the cutoff I did for the NFL, is 35. So you have to be 35 or older when you switch teams and had to have huge success. So are you ready to drop some names on you?
Yeah, please.
All right, Rod Woodson joins the Oakland Raiders at 37 years old. Mm-hmm. He's a first-team All-Pro, leads league interceptions, and leads the Raiders to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and this is 2 years after he was on the 2000 Ravens team as a 35-year-old man also.
Yeah, but he wasn't so good. I mean, you know, he was on that team, but he wasn't a key car. But he was a major – I mean, again, he was a first-team All-Pro at 37.
I mean, in hindsight, maybe he was. Like, I don't know. We didn't know what the heck was going on in 2000. Maybe he was
still – Well, the stats aren't – yeah. Anyway, Darren Sharper, by the way, just misses. He was 34 when he joined the Saints. Mm-hmm. But I will note that he also was a first-team All-Pro, also led the league in interceptions, also led his team to the Super Bowl, and he also led the league with 3 pick-sixes, but 34. So he just misses. Marcus mm-hmm. Allen, I'm going to make an exception. He was only 33, but 33 for a running back is, you know, ancient, obviously. He joins the – and we talked about him recently, how he only made the Hall of Fame because of his late Chiefs run. He joins the Chiefs at age 33, the same Chiefs team that Montana joined, by the way. And he makes the Pro Bowl, leads the league in touchdowns, and takes the Chiefs to the AFC title game. So mm-hmm. that's pretty impressive. The most obvious example, I think, probably in football is Brett Favre, right? He's 40 yeah. years old, comes to the Vikings 2009 after, not a great year for the Jets. And he had arguably the best season of his career, and he led the Vikings to the NFC title game where they would have won if the Saints hadn't cheated. But if we get down, like, beyond sort of Hall of Fame-level quarterbacks to top 50, top 60, like very good quarterbacks but not quite Hall of Famers, Jeff Garcia had not started a game more than 10 games in a season since he was 33 for the Niners. Four teams later, at the age of 37, he joins the Bucs, ends up starting 13 games when he takes over due to injury. He makes a Pro Bowl, leads him to a playoff berth. So pretty good for a 37-year-old. Rich Gannon, who I think I mentioned on the Tannehill podcast, joined the Raiders at 34, which is a little bit young, but he had been a career journeyman, and he put together arguably one of the greatest four-year runs in NFL history. He won an Offensive Player of the Year award. He won an MVP. He took this team to the Super Bowl. Randall Cunningham comes off the bench at the age of 35 for the Vikings in 98, the highest scoring team in NFL history. They go 15-1 and go to the NFC Championship game. Speaking of the 98 Vikings, I hate to include him, but I have to do it. Gary Anderson joins the Vikings that year at 39, has literally the greatest season in the history of the NFL for a kicker, did not miss a kick all season, not an extra point, not a field goal, until 2 minutes remained in the NFC Championship game. I don't remember what happened after there. And speaking of Hall of Fame kickers for the Vikings, Jan Stenerud joined the Vikings at 42, led the league in field goal percentage, and made his first Pro Bowl in a decade. But the Vikings sucked that year. So
we're in such uncharted territories with Brady's age.
Yeah. I mean, Brady's a year older than Jan Stenerud, and Brady's a quarterback, not a – yeah. Randall McDaniel, by the way, my number two guard of all time, joins the Bucs at 36, helps lead them to consecutive playoffs, and makes the Pro Bowl. But they were already a playoff team. In fact, they went to the NFC Championship the year before he got there, so I don't think they were –
also, a guy like Randall McDaniel, again, is making the Pro Bowl every year no matter what.
But no, but he missed it for a couple of years. Yeah. Obviously, the GOAT, Jerry Rice, we're talking about the Raiders. He was 39 when he joins the Raiders, and, you know, they go to the Super Bowl, and they go to a Pro Bowl with him. No tight end applies because Tony Gonzalez, Sharp, Gronk, all too young when they switch teams. Gronk, by the way, is only 31, so not that old.
Yeah.
Yeah, hockey,
yeah, but he's washed.
Hockey, the only guy that really jumps to mind to me is Ray Bourque, but I'm sure there's a ton of examples. I'm just not a big enough hockey guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Gordie Howe was so old, but I don't know did he join a team?
Yeah, I don't really know. There's a lot of NBA guys who joined a team late and were good, not great, like Pippen with the Blazers and Rockets or Barkley with the Rockets, but there's really no example in the NBA of a guy who above the age of 35 switches teams and has a tremendous season and takes his team to deep into the playoffs. So it's mm-hmm. really never happened in basketball. Interesting. LeBron, you know, switched to the Lakers, but he was only 34 when he switched. So I don't think that really applies. All right, let's go to baseball. We got a lot of,
I mean, LeBron probably switched teams again.
Yeah.
You think, does LeBron retire as a Laker?
Ooh, that's a good question. It depends where Bronny goes, right?
Oh, you think he's going to play with his son?
I mean, if his son is good enough to make the NBA, I think he would definitely want to, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so let's go to baseball. A boomstick, Nelson Cruz, does not count because he's not a Hall of Famer, but what he's doing for the Twins right now is insane. Roger Clemens joins the Astros at 41, goes to the World Series, and wins a Cy Young Award at 41. So that's pretty close to Brady, and probably they're both on lots of drugs, right?
Clemens and Brady?
Yeah. You're not even listening.
I am listening, but that's, I don't want to be involved in that. Clemens,
we're pro steroids. We don't care.
That's true. Yeah, take all the starters you want.
35 isn't really old for an elite starting pitcher, so I'm going to use a higher standard. But it is worth mentioning that the big unit, Randy Johnson, joins the Cardinals at the age of 35 and promptly wins 4 consecutive Cy Youngs and a World Series. So, I mean, that's, again, 35 isn't that old for a guy like him, but that's just incredible. Nolan Ryan joins the Rangers at 42, another Brady comp. He finishes top 5 for the Cy. He throws a no-hitter, and he beats the shit out of Robin Ventura. So I'd say that's a pretty impressive performance for a 42-year-old, even though he doesn't win a World Series. Schilling obviously joins the Sox at 37, wins 21 games, second in the Cy, gets a bloody sock, and wins the World Series. And I don't know if this really counts, but do you remember when Manny Ramirez was traded midway through his age 36 season to the Dodgers, and he hit 396 in LA?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got to acknowledge that. Yeah, and just a few more hitters. We got Frank Thomas joins the A's at 38, hits 39 home runs.
All right, let's get to the Bucks.
What, you know, you're not interested in this? We're remembering
nobody,
guys.
No, people want to hear Bucks talk.
Hold on, I got four.
We're remembering Frank Thomas. We're not remembering.
I got four more guys here, all right?
We're not remembering Daniel Pulka.
All right, I got four more guys here, all right? Frank Thomas at the age of 38 joins the A's, as I said, 39 home runs, finishes fourth in the MVP, and his team goes to the ALCS for the first and only time in the last 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Thome, who was the boomstick before boomstick, joins the Twins at 39, has an absurd 182 OPS plus, and the Twins win the division and win 94 games, which is the most they won until last year in, for like a 14-year span. Joe Morgan, 37 when he joins the Giants, which is ancient for an up the middle infielder. And at age 37, he gets MVP votes and has his only career silver slugger. Side note, the award only started like 2 years before that, but had a great year for the Giants at 37, gets MVP votes. And the Giants finished with a winning record for, I think, only the second time in like a decade. And my last guy, Paul Molitor, joins his hometown Twins at the age of 39. As a 39-year-old, leads baseball with 225 hits, bats 341, and becomes the first player ever to get a triple on hit number 3,000, which Ichiro would later match.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So that's my list of players who, when they were very, very old, switched teams and did very, very well.
Okay.
All right, so you have the Bucks 13th. So do you expect Brady to join that group of players or no?
I would pound the under. I wonder what Brady's over-under is for games played, because now that I think about it, I would pound the under. And, of course, Blaine Gabbert's the backup, so I'm not sure.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, this entire season is heavily invested on Brady being better than Jameis and staying healthy, and that's really the biggest risk of all. Let's talk about the rest of the team, though. So Ronald Jones was unplayably bad as a rookie. Go look at Ronald Jones's rookie year stats, or do you want me to just tell you what they are?
Yeah, tell us what they are. But yes, he was, and then he had 1,000 yards rushing.
All right, Ronald Jones, 23 rushes, and he played 9 games, so it's not like he was, 23 rushes, 1.9 yards per attempt.
Sounds bad.
His long was 9 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Not very good. Yeah, so last year he was much, much better, but he's still basically just a guy. They drafted Keyshawn Vaughn in the 3rd round, and they brought in Shady McCoy, who's very old.
Yeah, I think between the three of them, they're okay. I mean,
it's not a strength, but they
have different options.
They're not better running backs than Brady had in New England. But the receivers, Chris Godwin was so good last year that somehow Mike Evans became like the number 2 receiver in Tampa.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
They don't have a ton. They drafted a mid-round guy, but they don't have it. They lost Perryman. They don't have a ton beyond those two guys.
Yeah, so my question is, and maybe I can ask you as a Jets fan, is my perspective on Perryman is because he had 2 studs, he was just, getting the sort of the overflow, and then he cashed in for the Jets. Is he actually a good receiver?
I don't know. We'll see. He's never had more than 35 catches in a season. Yeah. It's a fair question. He's definitely not a number one, and he's not really just number one. Jameson Crowder is their number one.
Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah,
not just podcast. Pro Football Focus, by the way, you were talking about their mid-round draft picks. 5th rounder Tyler Johnson, PFF mm-hmm. called him one of the steals of the draft, and they think that he will immediately become their wide receiver 3. So,
I mean, that's very possible. He has no real competition that you've heard of. So,
yeah, and then of course OJ Howard and Cameron Brate, the best 1-2 punch at tight end Brady's had since Gronk and Hernandez. By the way, let's hope OJ does not take after his namesake and his tight end sake. But yeah, so there's a lot of weapons here. And the line, by the way, last year they had a top 10 offensive line, which is very good when you have a 43-year-old quarterback who's immobile. Mm-hmm. And they drafted
Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah. Now, to me, Tristan Wirfs' last name always like seems like it's misspelled. Doesn't look like, I don't know.
It's a weird name. It's like a Madden year 14 of a dynasty. Yeah. It's like, all right, we've given up.
But so I think he plays right tackle instead of DeMar Dotson. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Donovan Smith, who's good, and Ali Marpet.
I always mix him up with Ali
Hobart, I believe,
on CNN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, though it's a pretty decent offensive line. Remember, they're not really relying on Gronk. I mean, the Godwin, Evans, Gronk, O.J. Howard, Shady McCoy set, or Ronald Jones set is still pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, are we expecting anything from Gronk? Again, I don't think they need him because they already have O.J. and Kenny Bright.
Yeah, no, it's a loaded room. I don't know. I honestly don't know how he's looked in camp, Gronk.
Yeah.
But
he's going to be drafted too high in fantasy, I'm sure.
He will definitely be drafted too high in fantasy, but there's not like 10 automatic drafty type guys.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
But would you agree with me that Brady has no excuses? Like if this Bucs offense is not elite, it's because Tom Brady's 43. You can't blame the weapons around him like you did in New England last
year. Of course, yes. Okay. It's a risk in the sense that almost if you gave Ryan Tannehill this team, I think he'd have a huge year with Evans and Godwin.
Well, Jameis said 4,000, almost 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but I think Tannehill might even be better.
Yeah. Well, he was better than Jameis last year, obviously.
Do we think, you know, we've talked about this as long as the podcast has existed. Do we think that this is the end of the Mariota-Winston debate? Or, like, are we never going to have one again?
Well, it's so weird because we'd sort of go back and forth every year, and then they both dropped off the face of the earth at the exact same time.
Yeah, it is strange.
Yeah. I mean, so which one of them, if you had to put money on which one of them is going to have a star turn in 2020, would you say Winston in New Orleans backing up Drew Brees at 40, or would you say Mariota for the Raiders backing up Derek Carr, who's a much worse player?
I think they both start a game this year.
Yeah.
That's my take.
I mean, look, the Saints went undefeated with Teddy B last year and have got him a $72 million contract. I think that Jameis and Mariota, I think Jameis for sure will be a starting quarterback within the next 2 years. Mariota, I'm less confident in, even though I liked Mariota slightly more than Jameis for most of their careers.
Yeah, I think they both get a shot this year. I think Brees is so old and Carr, you know, has between injury, which he usually does not get injured, but between injury and getting pulled for a game, I think they both start at least one game.
Yeah, on the Raiders podcast. Have we released the Raiders podcast yet? I don't remember. We must.
I don't know. You released this stuff.
Our guest said, he said it's only year three for Derek Carr. All the years with preview with other coaches and coordinators don't
count. Do not count. Throw them out. Yeah. It's year three of regime three, and this is what matters.
Exactly. So here's the weird thing about the Bucs. So everyone thinks of them as the offense because of all the big names they have and for fantasy. Last year, their offensive DVOA was 21. Not good. Their defensive DVOA was 5. They had a very good defense. They had the 6th best pass rush that Football Outsiders has ever graded.
It's crazy.
Yeah, very good. I would say their front four, Carl Nassib is gone, but their front four, Vita Vey, Dominican Sue in the middle, and they franchised Shaq Barrett, and they gave JPP a 2-year deal for $27 million. That's a very good starting four for a 4-3.
Well, I think Barrett is technically an outside, edge rusher. I think he's an outside.
Whatever the hell he is. He's an edge guy.
Because Golston also is.
And Levante David, by the way, as good as any linebacker in the league, both in coverage and stopping the run. He's a superstar.
Yeah, he's excellent. Levante David's excellent.
And their secondary, I mean, they're not big names because they're young. It's almost like the Vikings a couple of years ago, like Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis, Sean Murphy Bunting. Like, these aren't big names, but it's a very solid secondary as well. So I think this is a team that the
And they also, they drafted Antoine Winfield, who's been like the best player on the team in training camp.
Yeah, it's, you know,
he's going to be a star, I think.
People in Minnesota really, really wanted the Vikings to draft him. And I really did not, just because I don't like when you draft the guy just because he's like a local.
Although I do think the Minnesota teams do that more than almost any other.
Oh, they do. And I mean, so the big example, of course, is when they took Joe Mauer. And at the time, I was very annoyed because I was like, oh, they only took him because he's a local guy. But then it turned out that Mark Pryor, you know, had an amazing season for the Cubs and then, you know, basically never played again. So it turned out to be the correct move there. Maybe Winfield will be a star. I don't know. But although the Vikings.
Yeah, no, he's already their best safety.
But the Vikings didn't have a need at safety. They had a lot of other needs also. Mm-hmm. But I'm rooting for him. I just, my issue is, I think that if you ask the average, like the casual fan, they think of the Bucs. They're going to think of the Bucs as Brady in the offense.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I don't expect good things from Brady. I don't think he's going to play 16 games. I don't think he's a particularly good quarterback anymore. I think any quarterback can put up numbers with these guys. We saw with Jameis last year. But I think this team is going to be dependent on their defense. But the main thing is, it's a really tough division. And they went 7-9 last year. So why is the over-under 9.5? It's crazy.
It's an incredibly public team, obviously, because, you know, I was looking at this. I don't know. We really need like a betting expert to tell us where to go. But you could, you know, there's so many online books. If you're doing online betting between FanDuel and DraftKings and MGM and all these things, you can get a different number at a lot of, for a lot of the teams over unders, right?
Yeah. You can get a half different. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's, I don't think it's ever more than a half. But so you can. So with the Bucs, you can get 9.5, and I thought, oh, maybe there's a place you could get 9, but no, at one of the books at MGM, it's 10.
That's insane.
Now, of course, you get less money.
Yeah, no, but you're printing money. On people who are taking, because I think everybody's taking the over because it's like, oh, Brady, and you know.
Right.
This is a sucker's bet. Do not take the over on the Bucks.
Because you're only getting minus.
And I'm talking to our listeners, by the way, because all our listeners have them in the top nine. It's like, again, 43-year-old Brady is the only possible upgrade over a team that went 7-9 last year.
Yeah, also, and you don't know how
and if anything happens to him, it's yo, Gabber, Gabber time. It's just, it's.
Yeah,
it's
if you love Brady so much, bet on the Bucks in individual games to start the season.
Well, so why don't we play some schedule game and see if how many wins they're actually going to get?
Okay, let's do it.
All right, week one at New Orleans, a 4:25 start. Everyone gets to watch Brady's debut against Breeze.
I think it's a really great game. Obviously, Brady Breeze is super cool that it's happening, but it's a loss.
Yeah. Our week two at home against Carolina.
Is that not the national game? It's funny. Like, Brady Breeze automatically should be the
national game. Yeah, it's at 4:25. Yeah.
What's the second game?
Carolina at home.
That's a win.
All right, week three at Denver. Our Broncos fan, guaranteed a win. He says, you know, Brady has a very bad career record in Denver, which is true.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Long trip for a very old team. I mean, you know.
Not the defense, but although I guess on the line with Sue.
No, Levante David is an old linebacker. JPP has lived a lot of
lives. The receivers are young. Their secondary is young.
No, it's an old team.
Yeah, okay.
The only rookie they're starting is Wirfs. The only second-year player they're starting is maybe like Murphy Bunting or Edwards, you know, in the secondary. Yeah. They don't have a lot of – and the only rookie who's going to play besides Wirfs is probably going to be Winfield. Anyway, I have this as a loss. I agree with the Denver fan whose podcast I was not on, so I did not hear.
All right, so what's your pick for this game?
I said loss, 1-2.
All right, 1-2. They come home. They face the Chargers.
I'll say win.
All right, so 2-2. They go at Chicago Thursday night. It's only 3.5-day turnaround for 43-year-old Tom Brady.
Yeah, but also for 26-year-old Mitch Trubisky sucks.
Yeah, or pretty, whatever your own.
This is a real must-win game. This is one of those on the schedule. Like, all right, you wanna make the playoffs, win this. So I'll say win.
All right, so 3-2, and then they play the Packers in week six, also 4:25.
At home?
Brady game is, at home. Every freaking Brady game is going to be, prime time, basically.
There's a...
By the way, seriously, 1, 2, 3, 4, they got like 5 consecutive primetime games after this.
Yeah, well, you want to stack them early when you know Brady's like...
Well, no, this is week 6 to 12 is all their primetime games.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
There's a early... When I was rewatching NFL games this summer, there's an early 90s Bucks-Packers game, like the Battle of the Bay.
Yeah.
Chris Berman, who's like normally like pretty respectful of every team, not like doesn't really editorialize and like, hey, this sucks.
Not a fan of the Bucks.
Because both teams were so bad that year. It's considered like one of the worst games ever played. I don't have the stats in front of me, but like he's like vomiting openly during the primetime highlights. It's like it's just like 15 interceptions. There's not a single good player on the field. It's wild. This game's in Tampa.
Does Governor DeSantis order that they open up the stadium?
Yeah, I'm going to say they win. I'm going to say Tampa wins.
Okay, so 4-2. That's a pretty good start. And they go at the Raiders and at the Giants. Raiders game on Sunday Night Football. Giants game on Monday Night Football.
Ooh, all right. I'm going to do a split here.
Okay.
I'm going to say they lose in Vegas and they win in New Jersey.
All right, so 5-3 at the halfway point. Week 9, again, third night game in a row at home against the Saints.
Yeah, I think they're going to win that.
Oh, so 6-3. Wow.
Yeah.
Huge win against the Saints. 6-3. This team is driving all the way to the over, it looks like, for Uncle Kiwi. You had them rank 13, lower than me, lower than almost all our listeners.
They haven't played Carolina yet, also. Right.
No, they did in week two. You gave them a win.
Oh, okay. You're right.
Week 10, though, they go at Carolina to finish the season series.
I'll say a loss.
All right, so 6
I'm going to have splits. So they haven't played Atlanta yet.
Yes, they do not play Atlanta until the week of Christmas.
All right. I'm going to have that as a split, too.
6-4, and then another Monday night game, this one against the Rams.
At home?
This is in Tampa, yeah. Going to be a high-scoring game.
I'm going to say that's a win.
All right, 7-4, and then they face the Chiefs at a 4:25 start at home in week 12. All right, 7-5, coming out of the bye, they face the Vikings in week 14.
I'll say loss.
7-6, they go at Atlanta.
Loss.
In week 15. All right, so from 6-3 to 7-7. So this, and by the way, your Jets started, I think, 7-2 in the Brett Favre year, right?
Yeah, in the Brett Favre season, they were 7-2.
And then they ended 8-8. Now, he was also injured.
They 8-8, 9-7, I think.
Oh, 9-7. Okay, so they started 7-2 and then went 2-5. Yeah. All right, so 7-7. All of a sudden, a must-win situation.
I already said that I'm going to have them beating Atlanta in week 17.
Okay, so
this is all.
So at Detroit, what happens at Detroit in week 16?
Oh yeah, that's tricky. I think Stafford could not be playing, but I'm going to say win. I'll have them at 9-7.
Okay, so you have a 9-7, which is still.
But
the
it's a soft 9-7. I think if I had to move one of the, I mean, I did like the split. Not that I think they're for sure going to go on the road and win the Raiders and Giants games, but like that was a gift that I gave them a loss. But this is, I don't know, like.
So are you 9-7 leading 10-6 or 9-7 leading 8?
Not a horrible schedule. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm 9-7 leading 8-8, but also 9-7.
Yeah. So
9-7 leading 9-7.
Yeah. And is this Brady's last year? What's your prediction?
Yes, I do think this is Brady's last year.
Okay. So probably not. I mean, if he wins the Super Bowl, I think he leaves having won the Super Bowl for sure.
Well, if he plays great and doesn't get hurt, I do think there's a chance. But I think like when it goes, it's going to go fast.
So, but what's your, like, give me, so let me see if I can find Brady over unders. All right, here we go. All right, the over-under at Caesars for yards for Tom Brady, this is very high, 4,099.5. So can he get to 4,100 yards? Last year he did not, but again, much, much better weapons this year.
I'm going to say no because I don't think he's playing 16 games.
Yeah. I think I'm at about the same place as you. I have the Bucks. I have him one spot higher. I have him at 12, him at 13, which is basically the same thing. 9.5, I would take the under. You can't assume a 7-9 team is going to win three more games when, you know, they changed one guy and he's 43 years old. So obviously we're not, you know, Tom Brady super fans here, but we certainly appreciate him. You know, he's, if not the greatest, one of the top two or three greatest quarterbacks of all time, but it's totally unprecedented. And at some point it's going to go. And when it goes, it's going to go really fast. So, what's the worst case scenario? Like, can you see the Bucks going like 4-12 this year?
Yeah, the worst case scenario is they're so bad he sort of retires mid-season or like has one of those bogus IR stints.
Almost like a
Giselle Favre leaves
like
him.
The second season that Favre had in 2010 with the Vikings where he gets a concussion.
No, that's very possible. Like if it doesn't happen in 2020, it will happen in 2021.
It will happen at some point. No, but you know, Tom Brady drinks the special water, so you can't get concussions. Don't you know the science?
It's not just about head injuries. He's just old, man. I feel old some days, we're much
50.
Younger than he is. Yeah. No, we're much younger than Tom Brady. It is nice having, like, there will be a day in 2 or 3 years where there's no relevant athlete who's older than us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
I mean,
hasn't happened
yet. We're getting pretty close. But yeah, Brady's holding, preventing that from happening for a while. I'm starting to think that, Keith, my chances of making it to the NBA are slim.
Yeah, at this point, you would be one of the oldest players in the league. You're not Vince Carter level yet, but I do think this is probably your best chance.
In terms of
chances.
Talent or age?
No, maybe the big three is for you. Go straight
all right,
to the
let me put it this way. There are 300 million Americans. How many Americans would have to drop dead for me to become a player in the NBA on an active roster?
I think just Trump wins another term. You probably eventually get in there.
All right, so MAGA, or Keep America Great, whatever he says. So you're saying there's a chance.
Okay, so relative to a number of our listeners, Akiva and I obviously not so high on the Bucks. Why don't we turn to our biggest Bucks fan listener, John. And we did the schedule game. Akiva has him going 9-7 or 8-8. I'm going to guess John has him doing a little better. So John, why don't you tell us how you have the schedule going for the Bucks this year?
Okay, this is the schedule game. So my predictions. So week one at New Orleans, we are probably going to lose. Week two against Carolina, I see as a win. Week three at Denver, a win. Week four, home against LA Chargers, that's a win. So 3-1. And then week five, on a Thursday night in the Windy City of Chicago, that's a win. I mean, come on. If you have Mitch Trubisky, that's really terrible. You know, that'll be terrible if you lose to him. And week six, home against Green Bay, I say that's a win. Week seven, at Las Vegas, at the new stadium, I say that's a win. At New York, I mean, that could be a loss for me. I just predict it's a loss, but it's a last-minute thing. Week 8 against New Orleans, that is a win. Week 10 against Carolina, a win. And then LA, it's a win. Kansas City, it's a loss. So that's, we lost 3 so far. Minnesota, win, I think. So, I think I said 12-4, but I guess 13-3 is a good, you know, record. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Wow. So John has the Bucks going 13-3, a little bit better than Akiva and I. That's a pretty hot take. John, is that your hottest take for the Bucks, or do you have an even hotter take?
Biggest take for me in 2020 is that the NFC South will division Tom Brady and Gronk with the Bucks. I feel like it's going to be mostly a competition between New Orleans and Tampa Bay, when I predict that the Bucks will win 12-4, win the NFC South, and I just want them to make the playoffs this year. That's the only thing I care about, especially now that we can, hopefully, with a 42-year-old guy named Tom Brady. Hopefully that he can finally bring something good with his Buccaneers football that we haven't had since, what, maybe Jeff Garcia as our quarterback.
Okay, so that's not really the hottest take from John. To say they'll go 12-4 or 13-3, win the division over the Saints, that's pretty hot. But to say just to make the playoffs, especially with seven teams making the playoffs, definitely very reasonable. Definitely something that can happen. We've heard John's best case scenario, at least for the regular season. Akiva,
what's the absolute best, realistic to you upside for this team? Can they win the Super Bowl?
That's a good question. I don't think so. Because even if Brady's great, you're just asking so much of him. As it gets colder, you're asking so much of him to win three or possibly four, because almost everybody's playing four games in the playoffs now, right?
Unless they're literally the one seed.
It's rough. That's rough. Yeah, because you see Breeze, Breeze gets noticeably worse. You could back that up. Have we done the Saints podcast yet? No, right?
No.
So I don't know if you want to do a study into that, but it seems like Breeze gets noticeably worse as the season goes on, as he's gotten older the last few years. So yeah. Brady is just so freaking old. I don't know. I think for Brady and Breeze, this could be it this year.
Yep.